The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Part of the delegation here visiting Toronto is Terry McAvaney, who's the Group CEO of Sentinel Risk. Terry, how are you?
Good, thanks. Good morning. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Yeah, good morning. Good afternoon to all of our listeners, of course, with the time difference. We are in the pub. I was going to say unusually early. It is unusually early for you, Terry, isn't it?
It is. Well, I mean, it's not unusually early to be up this, but certainly to be in the pub at this time is very unusual.
So tell me about Sentinel Risk.
So Sentinel, we're a group of companies now. We provide security risk management and corporate security support for multinationals, high net worth individuals, companies, film studios, anyone who is exposed to any sort of risk, I guess, in the course of their business.
And how does that generally manifest? I mean, is it that there's a kind of a temporary risk posed to somebody or to an individual or to a corporate entity because of a particular circumstance, or just an ongoing risk by virtue of them being high net worth?
Well, I mean, it's both, really. You know, a lot of corporations will have a security risk management program in place, which is kind of top down from executive protection right down to, you know, the security guards at their office buildings and everything that happens in between. You know, we call ourselves a security company, but really what we are is problem solvers. So generally the call that we get is, we have a problem, can you fix it?
What? Give me an example of some of the types of problems you've got calls to fix.
I suppose recently we had an incident where a company was losing data. They were losing, when I say data, information. Information was being leaked out of the business. Nobody could figure out how it was getting out. We were called in to do an initial assessment of where that might be happening. We then followed up with a full TSCM sweep, which technical surveillance countermeasures, which is basically bug sweeping. So we go in, we spend 3 days in a significantly large building. So it's a physical and signal sweep. And we found three devices. So, you know.
Wait, you found three, like, bugs?
Yeah, two bugs and a hidden camera.
And who was this company?
Can't tell you, obviously.
Well, I thought maybe if I asked all of a sudden you might say it. How often does that type of thing happen?
More often than you would think. Corporate espionage has become a big problem. You know, because everything is now digitized. You know, it's so easy to extract data. So, you know, and it's so easy to buy equipment now that can listen. You know, bugs are tiny. They're very sophisticated. They're difficult to find. So, you know, what we do is we go in and we do a full initial sweep, and then we present results back to the client, and the client will either decide to remove them and go to the authorities, or in some cases they'll leave them in place and they will go down a route of, you know, planting, you know, misinformation. In that particular instance, that's what we did. So we planted the misinformation and we were able to trace it back to the individual who was extracting the information.
Because you knew what false information had been planted. Yeah. Basically, you were Colleen Rudy and they were Rebecca Vardy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, it's very much client-dependent how they want to deal with that kind of stuff.
And when you say a bug, I mean, describe what that physical device looks like or where it's planted in a company. And because my only frame of reference is a movie and you've got some kind of spy in a tuxedo pushes something onto a kind of the underside of a desk.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit like that. Okay. Maybe not as small or maybe not as complex. You know, that's very much state level. But, you know, it can be in the plug of a USB-A or USB-C lead. It can be, you know, a hidden camera in a PIR. It can be a hidden camera in a pen. You know, it can be anything that you can get a power source that you can put a camera into.
And, I mean, if a company, so you go in and let's say in a circumstance like this, you identify there's two bugs and there's a hidden camera, do you offer follow-up services whereby, well, you obviously do because you did the kind of the chicken feed thing where you gave them misinformation, but, you know, in terms of trying to identify who it is, I mean, are there times where you identify it and it's a state espionage? It's a state spying on a company?
No, I mean, we've never come across state level, not yet. That's not to say we won't. Mm. It does happen, certainly in Dublin where you've got, you know, the the headquarters of multiple, you know, US tech companies. You know, the Russians have a massive espionage presence in Ireland. The Chinese do as well. You know, there's ongoing. But I mean, you know, a lot of it is corporate espionage. It's company to company. It's, you know, competitor stuff where they're trying to figure out what our competitors are doing so we can get an edge on them.
The cars that you would select, like, I'm just conscious of you know, the, what do they call it, the Streisand effect, where you want people to not pay attention to something, and by doing so, everybody pays attention to it. I remember, you know, when there's a US president visiting, you know they're there because, yeah, because it's so obvious, or a head of state, it's so obvious. Whereas you tend to find out that, you know, Taylor Swift has been to the Cliffs of Moher just because somebody kind of snapped a photo of it. There doesn't tend to be this huge cavalcade of cars, yeah, barreling down towards County Clare. So, is that a factor that you don't want to be seen?
Absolutely. Discretion is key here. Like, I mean, you are going to be using a Mercedes V-Class or a Range Rover or an S-Class. You're going to have a quality vehicle, but it's going to be black. You're never really going to have more than two or three vehicles unless it's a big party. You certainly don't bulldoze your way into a car park and you know, try and make yourself seen. Like, we have had issues in the past where clients have had US teams come in and they can be a little bit, let's say, aggressive in terms of their making their presence felt. And we've been asked to switch out our guys for the US guys because, you know, the Irish thing is it's a little bit odd, I guess. Irish people they don't like to see it. They don't like to see people with security details. You know, it's kind of, it's very much that, who does he think he is kind of thing. Mm. Whereas, you know, subtlety and discretion, and that's where the planning piece comes in. Like, 90% of what we do is planning. There's very little in your face kind of, you know, brash behavior. It's very much, if we do this, this won't happen, this won't happen, and this won't happen.
Yeah.
And every plan A has a plan B and a plan C. You know, so you have contingencies for everything.
Yeah.
You know, you're advancing basically every location that your principal is going to be going to. You're going to know your fire exits. You're going to know your maitre d'. You're going to know your hotel manager. You're going to know where you can get X, Y, and Z because the client likes this particular type of bread or soft drink or beer or whatever it happens to be. We're going to know all that.
And I'm sure then as well, the nature of the work the client does, or as to what, like, why you're protecting the matters. You gave the example of someone, a CEO earning $50 million, you know, dollars a year. The reality is, they could walk into this room and none of us would know who they were, probably. Absolutely. But the Taylor Swift example can't walk down a street anywhere on the planet without everybody knowing who they are. So, you know, like, the detail is different, I guess, when it's somebody who's maybe worth a lot less than the $50 million a year, but they're famous.
Yeah, I mean, the two very different disciplines. You know, you've your corporate and then you've your entertainment and your kind of celeb stuff. Celeb stuff is infinitely more difficult. It's less consistent. It tends to be a little bit more ad hoc. Someone's in. Ireland is great because a lot of the celebs that come into Ireland don't need it. For the same reason that the corporate guy, you know, wants the discreet presence, Irish people don't really give celebrity a huge amount of time. You know, we've had clients come in and, you know, within a week they've realised, actually, I don't need you guys. And we're very happy at that stage to step back and go, brilliant.
Yeah.
You carry on. We're at the end of the phone if you need us. We will put, you know, like a support team in the background. But they go about their daily business and nobody bats an eyelid.
What about paparazzi?
Paparazzi are a problem. You know, with the celebrity stuff, the main issue is reputation. And in a lot of cases, it's IP protection. So if you've got somebody in making a series or making a movie, you know, a lot of what we do around that is it's getting them to and from set, getting them to and from where they need to go because they're in costume or, you know, there's an issue around, you know, the studio doesn't want people to know exactly how a movie is being shot or what the plot is. So a lot of that falls into the kind of the IP protection piece. You know, celeb by its nature can have issues around, you know, drugs and alcohol and all that kind of thing. And in that case, that's very much a reputation management piece. So we're trying to get people in and out of where they want to be without people seeing them and making sure that they're not exposed to, you know, paparazzi who can see them doing stuff that they may not be, you know. They don't want to be seen in a bar drinking champagne when they're supposed to be working or, you know, on the wagon or whatever. So, you know, that's around that. It's a little bit more complex and it's infinitely more difficult, actually.
And do you often get requests that you can't fulfill?
regularly. We're often asked to source stuff that, you know, we just, you can't get involved in. You know, okay. you just don't do it, you know.
And to go back again before we wrap things up to the kind of the corporate example we were talking about of the bugging, to what degree are you continually trying to keep on top of technological advancements in terms of the kind of the bugs of the cameras that might be used?
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky. Like, our TSEM team would do kind of training courses with the equipment manufacturers at least twice a year, because they're the ones that are watching for the technology and seeing what's coming out in terms of signals and SIGINT and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's an ongoing training piece internally. And then with a lot of clients, we have a program. So every 3 months we'll go in and we'll declare their building sterile. And when you do the first week, you've got a baseline. You know all the stuff that should be in the building.
Yeah.
You know all the signals that should be there. So, you know, it becomes easier then as time goes on, and it becomes a little bit cheaper actually for the client, because you're starting from a place of knowledge. You know what should be there, so anything anomalous becomes very easy to spot.
Right. Well, listen, Terry, thanks a million for joining us.
No problem, thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.